There are many characters, of course, that we come across in the Scriptures. But what a contrast there is between them. In the opening verses of John chapter 3, we're introduced there to a man who was a Jew. He was one who was a respected ruler among the Jews. To all intents and purposes, he's a moral individual, for he speaks of Christ as being a teacher come from God. He's one who seeks a meeting with the Savior by night. And he comes having no arguments, but just seeking to know how. Verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? He couldn't understand what the Savior was teaching him when he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so he asks how. He is one who seems to be cautious. He doesn't seem to know what he wanted. And he fades out of the passage, seemingly unnoticed, only for him to reappear again before the gospel account comes to a close. His name, of course, is Nicodemus. But the character of Nicodemus stands in sharp contrast to the one that we're introduced to just one chapter on in John chapter 4. In the Word of God, of course, there are many wells which are notable. There are many wells which are memorable. Moses was to meet Sapphira at her father's well in the desert. It was Abraham's servant who, in obedience to his master, went back to his homeland, and he did so to his own people in search of a suitable bride for Isaac. It was at the well of Mesopotamia that Rebecca was to meet with this man, and from there she was to return with him to the land of promise and to become Isaac's wife. It was Jacob who was found to be wooing Rachel at the well of Haran. But at another well, as we find it in John chapter 4, it was the Savior himself who was to woo the heart and the soul of a woman who was a sinner. A sinner just like Nicodemus, and yet altogether different. A sinner whose name we are not given. She was a Samaritan, not a Jew. And we have her meeting with the Lord, not in the night season, but in the midday. She is one who is full of questions. She knew what she wanted. She's a woman who go back to the city where she lived, and she says to the men of the city, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? This evening, I want to tell the story of this immoral woman who was saved. You'll consider, first of all, with me the providence of God. This incident was early on in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. It was when he sought to leave Judea and to go into Galilee. And because of the ancient feud there was between the Jews and the Samaritans, no Orthodox Jew would ever have walked through the region of Samaria to get to Galilee, but instead they would have taken the long way around. It would mean crossing over the Jordan twice before they eventually arrived in Galilee. But no matter what the other Jews would have done, this was not the road which the Savior was going to take. And therefore we read it as John puts it there in the words of verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. And thus in this journey, the Savior was to come to the ancient city of Sychar, or Shechem, by which it was used to be known as in the days of Abraham and Jacob. If I can give you a little setting of that well, or of that city. It was situated in a valley between two great mountains, Mount Gerizim, where Joshua was to position half of the nation of the people of Israel to pronounce the blessings, and on the other side there's Mount Ebal. And half of the people were to be situated on that mountain where there was the pronouncement of the curses. And down in the shadow of these two great mountains was positioned the well that is in question that we read about in this passage. It's said to be a well of 105 feet deep, 9 feet in diameter. The water still runs as fresh and cool today as it did in the days of the Lord. It was a hot day that the Lord was to walk that way, and He came to this well where He was to rest. For John details the account there in the words of verse 5 that He was wearied with His journey. Verse 6, I beg your pardon. You see, men and women, here's a passage which brings home to us the humanity of the Savior. It says He was wearied. There was the tiredness of the walking that great distance, and especially in the heat of the noonday sun. And again, we realize the Savior's humanity when He desires a drink of water. Here was an occasion when He thirsted. He humanly thirsted. But men and women, it's nothing to that time yet to come when in the midst of His sufferings, in the midst of His agonies, on the cross of Calvary, as He laid down His life there for the sinner, He cried, "I thirst." You'll find it in John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 28. It says, after this, after what? After the hours of darkness. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." And I want you to understand that when He cried, "I thirst," then it was more than a physical thirsting, for indeed it was symbolic of the sufferings of the sinner in hell. The one in hell who's paying the punishment for their sin, as is noted by the rich man. For if you turn back to Luke chapter 16, you have account of that rich man who died and he was buried, but in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You see what he says as he cried out unto Abraham. In the words of verse 24, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame." There is the suffering of a lost soul, and it's symbolized by his thirst. Just wanted Lazarus to tip a little drop of water on his tongue as he was tormented in that flame. My men and women, on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ cried, "I thirst." How? Why? Because there He was bearing the punishment of our sin. There He was bearing the punishment that was our due as hell-deserving sinners. He asked for a drop of water to be placed on His tongue that it might be cooled in the midst of the torments. I trust that will not be you throughout all eternity. But if we come back to our passage, weary and thirsty as He was, the Lord was never weary of the work which the Father had sent Him to do. Verse 34, He says to His disciples, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work." He was not too weary to forget all about His own hunger and thirst, so that He might see a soul saved. But here's one of those times when we see Christ, not only His humanity, but all by Himself. He was alone in the wilderness when the devil came with the temptations. He was often alone when He prayed on the mountaintop. He was alone when He was to go through the rigors and the agonies of Gethsemane and the cross of Calvary. And having dismissed His disciples to the city to get some bread, we find the Lord all alone here, sitting on the side of this well. And it was then, if you can picture it in your mind's eye, it was then in the providence of God that He was to hear the footsteps of someone coming to the well. And looking up, He was to know who it was. It was a woman coming from the town with her water pot, no doubt, upon her shoulder. It's interesting to note the hour that John records that this occurred in verse 6. He says there, it was about the sixth hour. Now that's unusual. That is unusual in itself, for not only was it the middle of the day, the ninth hour, of course, on the cross was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The sixth hour was 12 o'clock. It was midday. But it was unusual because it was then that the strength of the sun was at its height. And it was not normal for the women to come for the water at that hour of the day. It was more usual for them to come early in the morning or else later on in the afternoon. And what's more, they would have come together. It begs us to ask the question, therefore, why then this woman is she found coming in the middle of the day and she's coming all by herself? Perhaps it was to avoid the talk. Perhaps it was to avoid the gossip of the other women because of the way in which she had lived and was living at the present time. Here was a woman, we might suggest, would have been at least in her middle years. People talk about being middle-aged. That's hard to define. She was a woman, we might suggest, that may have had fleeting signs of beauty still about her person. Her past was one which had seen her married to 5 different husbands, and either they were dead or else they were separated and left each other. But sadly, she is one who is now living now in the lusts of her flesh. For she lived with a man who wasn't her husband. She was openly living in sin, and the shame of it was upon her. And it may have been that that is the reason why she came at this midday hour to get the water. But my friend, it was all in the providence of God. Ultimately, it was the providence of God that caused this woman to come to this well at this time, for it was so ordered. Because Christ must needs go through Samaria. He had to pass by this way. And he was to be found by himself. Because here was a meeting planned out from all eternity. For the Lord was to deal with this individual. And men and women tonight, thank God the Lord still deals with individuals. It's no mistake that you're found under the sound of the preaching of the gospel tonight. It's no mistake you're found where you are because God has planned it so. I believe this book teaches a sovereign God. A God who's in control of all things, who's in control of our very footsteps. He knows the day of our birth and he knows the day of our death. And the Lord would have a meeting with your heart. There are no surprises with the Lord. He knows the heart of every man and every woman, and he knows and understands what your need of the heart is tonight. I wonder, will your meeting with the Lord have the same impact as it did with this woman? The providence of God was to bring her to have this meeting with Christ. Let me take a little further. Let me show you the perception of the woman. It was as she approached this well, she was to hear the words of this man sitting at the well, "Give me to drink." He didn't give her opportunity to say anything. The Savior immediately in verse 7 says, "Give me to drink." By his very appearance, she perceived that he wasn't one of them. Rather, she perceived he was a Jew. And that surprised her. For the Jews had no dealing with her people. She wondered why. And then therefore she wondered why that he asked her for water. And this was something that she must find out. And this was something that she questions him about. As you see it in the words of verse 9. "Thus saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. When, without entering into the arguments over the dispute that had lasted for years, the Lord instead was to take the opportunity to speak to her about her soul. And the need for having that water from which she would never thirst. He spoke to her of the gift of God and that He was the giver. You see the words of verse 10? He answered unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him and He would have given thee living water. And my friend, tonight so it is in the gospel. The message of God's salvation is freely offered to the thirsty soul. And although the water of God's salvation was purchased at the highest price, and by the way, that's what Sychar means. It means purchased. And while it was purchased at the highest price, yet it is freely offered to all who will ask it, to all who will receive it from the giver of life. And where can you have this living water tonight? The same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We suspect that this woman was very much in ignorance of the gift of God. And she was in ignorance of the giver Himself. But this we do know, that there was arising within her heart a quest to know more and to seek more. Her curiosity had been aroused. She wanted to know who was this stranger. She wanted this living water of which He spoke about. She wanted to know more about it. Was the water that He offered better than this well? This well that had quenched the thirst of many down through the centuries of time. And then came the words of verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. For whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He was not only a deeper well. He had that better water. For one drink quenches thirst forever, and that water once tasted becomes a well of water springing up within them unto eternal life. This was something which this woman wanted and desired. And you can see how the Lord is dealing with her. You can see how there now is that quickening in her heart to ask after this. But I want you to notice that the Lord was to ask her now about her husband. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman no doubt couldn't understand what her husband had got to do with this. The modernist, they may look upon that verse and they may suggest that it is out of context. It's in the wrong place. It's not in the wrong place. It's right there where it should be. You see, the purpose of it was to show this woman her sin. Her sense of sin. For if she wanted the taste of the water, then first of all there had to be repentance of her sin. And there had to be a turning away from it. Dear soul, tonight, maybe without Christ, as the Savior is presented before you in the gospel, if you are to taste of the Savior, you must come in repentance first. That's turning away from sin. That's seeing your sin for what it is, as heinous in the sight of Almighty God. Now, that's not the preaching that you will hear throughout this country tonight. The preaching of you'll hear throughout many places this evening is just come walk the aisle, stick your hand up, go out the way you come in, and do whatever way you like. And there's no change. You see, the Lord says, call thy husband, come hither. His answer, she was to perceive that this stranger was some sort of prophet. But the Lord, knowing all about her, was able to tell her that she had five husbands, and yet she had none at the present time because she was cohabiting with a man. He didn't ask her about that. He knew about her all before she came to the well. I suspect when the Lord said those words of verse 18, there was a deadly silence. She was to hear of her past. She was to hear of her present life. She no doubt felt ashamed and embarrassed that this man should know so much of her unworthy life. And yet there was respect, and yet there was reverence for him, for she proceeds to speak of worship in the following words. The Samaritans were guilty of worshipping they knew not what. The Jews worshipped God, but the crux of worship was that it was in the Spirit and in truth. This is true worship. For God desired such to worship Him, and thus the true approach to God was not through this mountain or that mountain, but by repentance and faith with a heart that was cleansed. And the Lord says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman perceived one more important thing. And that was the Messiah was coming. And that He would be able to answer all these questions. Verse 25. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Her heart was about to be opened. And things were about to become more clear. For the Lord said to her in verse 26, I that speak unto thee am He. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. And she now understands how that He knew all about her. She now knew why He could offer her the water of life. She was in face-to-face meeting with the Christ of God. She now had met the Messiah. She now had met the Christ that her Old Testament scriptures had told her about. This was the promised Messiah. And my friend, tonight in the gospel, it is the Christ of God that I again seek to uplift before you. For listen, He is a prophet. He is the promised Messiah. And He is the one who purchased eternal salvation for those who are lost in their sin and in nature's darkness. You see what this woman calls this man. In verse 9, he's a Jew. In verse 7, 8, 19, he's a prophet. In verse 26, he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. And she met with Him at the well, or at the city that was called Purchased. I wonder, do you understand that not only is He the giver of life, but have you got to the point yet where you recognize that you need this Savior? Have you recognized where your sin and shame is taking you to that place where the sinner will thirst for all eternity and from which there is no escape? And there will be no more opportunity to hear the gospel preached. There will be no more opportunity to close in with God's offer of mercy through the person and the work of the only Redeemer. I wonder, do you understand that a meeting with the Lord reveals your need of Him? This woman was a sinner. She was an immoral woman. She was a woman openly living in her filth and sin. And when she came and when she met with the Savior, her sin was brought out before her. Her heart was laid bare. Her sinfulness was revealed to her. And she was to understand God's remedy for sin. She understood the one who spoke to her was the one who could deal with her sin. My dear friend, a sinner, when they realize that they are such before a thrice holy God, it's only then they will see their need of the sin bearer. If you don't recognize you're a sinner tonight, you will never seek the Savior. I wonder, are you at this point that this woman was brought to? She recognized that she met with God's remedy for sin. She perceived this was the Christ. Finally, I want you to see the person of Christ. For at that point, the disciples returned. They come back from the city with their bread. They're amazed to find the Lord speaking to such a woman. But you'll notice they withheld any comment. The Pharisees on another occasion murmured by saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Thank God he receives sinners. For if he didn't receive sinners, then there'd be hope for not one of us. But notice the words of verse 28. I believe it sums up this whole meeting that the woman had with Christ. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She left her water pot. She went away with the well. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 comes in there. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. What a meeting this was for this woman at the well. She had come with her water pot to get water. She left her water pot behind and she went back into the city with the well. She could have missed this opportunity to taste of the water of life freely offered to her. Had she not inquired about this water, she could not have received it. Had the Savior not passed by that way, then she would have missed out on God's salvation. That's how pivotal a meeting this was for this woman. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. How many times has the Lord passed by you, my friend? And He has planned it so. He has come to where you are. He has come to meet with you. And He has come to meet with you just in the place where you were, in all your sin. You see, this woman didn't dress herself up before she came out. She was still an old, immoral woman. And the Lord knew all about her. And so the Lord meets with you just in your sin. There's been that opportunity for your soul to get right. There's been those opportunities for you to seek the water of life from which you will never thirst. But how many times, alas, have you spurned it? And you've refused Him. But as the Savior passes by this evening, I wonder, will you avail yourself of Him? Someone said, and I think it's good, Jesus gave her water that was not in the well. She went away singing. She came back bringing others for the water that was not in the well. This woman with excitement returns, you see, to tell her men in the city, the townsfolk, that she had met with the promised Messiah. She was the means of bringing others out to hear the Lord. And the outcome was that many believed on Him. And it was through the testimony of the woman which He had spoken, verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." Here's an immoral woman that was converted, that was saved. She went back into the city, what as a missionary. Come and see. Is not this the Christ? Come out and hear this man. Come out and meet with Him. And such was His teaching and such was His authority and His manner that they invited Him to stay amongst them. And the Lord was to abide there for the further 2 days. And as a result, many more souls were saved. You see, the fields were already ripe unto harvest. And this was the time of reaping. And that was the lesson that the disciples had to learn there, you'll see in the words of verse 35. They knew that this was the Christ, the Savior of the world. And that meant that one day He would go to the cross. And that meant that He would shed His own precious blood to save His people from their sins. And in the person of Christ was the only one who could satisfy their soul. This woman went back. I think it is significant that it says there, in verse 28, she went her way into the city and saith to the men. She was known as a woman among the men. That's the sort of lifestyle that you had. But she goes back to her people with good news. She had a glorious testimony. The Lord had saved her. And now she was satisfied. She had that well of water that had sprung up into everlasting life abiding within her. She had Christ. Men have tried to quench the thirst of their souls with the wells of the world. They have tried the water of power. They have tried the waters of fame. They have tried the waters of riches. They have tried the waters of sexual pleasure, just like this woman did. But alas, they've all failed. They still come away thirsting for something else. The world, nor its pleasures, listen, does not satisfy. There's only one who can truly satisfy. There's only one who can eternally quench that craving and fill that void that is in your heart and life. And that is Jesus, the one who came to save sinners. The one who said, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. My friend, have you yet tasted of the Lord? Have you yet seen that He is good? Do you have that experience of having that well within you? A well of water from which will never run dry and it springs up into eternal life. That well is Christ. He is the giver. Oh, that you would come to know Him. Just like this immoral woman did to this day. I wonder, will you come now? If you're not saved, may God help you to do so. For His glory's sake. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Close in with Him tonight. As the offer of mercy is extended to you again in the gospel. May God bless His word to each of our hearts.